Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Leaf Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Eshedarel. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about the influence of education on a person. We're all once children, today we're adults, and education is something that's always in the background, and we'd like to take this concept or process and take a deeper look into it. Be with us, it's going to be interesting. Yael, please. Yeah, good education is very valuable. Everyone wants for his children to get a good education, also for society to be correctly educated. We know that eventually it is what shapes a person. Nonetheless, we see that throughout history, over time, in different places, education is different. Maybe its goals are different, the methods are different, and on this show, we'd like to better understand what is education? Who are we educating? How do we educate? What are the right stages, maybe? And start taking a deeper look into how do we shape a human being. And the question I'd like to start with is, why is it important to educate people? First of all, I'd like to say a few words about education in general. Education means any kind of influence of the environment on a person, any person. Any kind of influence, everything that he absorbs. All in all, that means education. It could be natural phenomenon, animals, a forest where he lives, or the ocean. It could be society or several societies that he's included in throughout the day. Everything that he absorbs from the outside changes him for sure, influences him, and this is called education. Meaning we're always being educated. We're always in such an atmosphere and an environment that educates us, whether it's done intentionally by the environment or not. Nonetheless, this is how it always is. And every day, man is new. From the influences of yesterday, today I have a new state. And therefore, if we're talking about education, we have to exactly discern whether this is a kind of influence that is intentionally directed at us, at each and every person, that we shape it that way, or it's something random, as if, and then too, we have to examine what kind of influence is a person under an average, what kind of society does he belong to, and so on. And this is how we can advance. But we have to know how does society influence a person, because otherwise we don't know where we are and where will we be. Is it important to actively educate people, to direct them, and why? We have to see our future, the future of all of mankind, or an entire society in a certain country, that it's the result of a person's impressions in life. And if these impressions are intentionally directed at a person and they have a special and powerful influence over him, we have to take that into consideration. It's like parents that don't want for their child to be under the influence of some criminal gang or something. That's obvious. And the same in regard to grown-ups. And that includes the internet and television. And all the shows that influence us, everything influences us. So we have to re-examine the entire state that we're in. What is the air that we breathe filled with? And how does it influence us? And of course, according to our nature, that we're egoists and everyone acts only to his own benefit, according to what he sees right, according to his very narrow ego. And so what follows is that the negative influences are much stronger, more powerful than the positive ones because they go along with our nature, which is the will to receive. That's evil. If I look at the nature around us, animals, they also guide their offsprings. They teach them different necessary skills that they need for life. What's the main difference between the guidance that an animal gives to its offsprings and the education that a person receives? An animal gives its offsprings the basic necessary guidance, minimum basic necessary guidance, that this puppy can absorb, grasp, and realize in its life here and now. Whereas we, in our education, we address different times, cases, occurrences, people that we stumble upon in life. So it will also help that person also in future times, in different complicated cases, where he'll have to make decisions. Already now, at childhood, it's something that we think about and prepare him for making complicated decisions. So both the complexity and also the perception of the future that doesn't exist for animals. What is the main substance that we want to educate in a person? We want to build an inner model in a person that does not exist in him, where the substance of this model is his desire, that in this desire we want to shape the image of what we consider as a good person. So in that child, there will be the image of a good person, of what a good person is, so that he can compare any external thing that he sees with that image and to see whether what he sees, is it correct or not? Is it good or isn't? Is it worthwhile or not? This is what we want to do. Meaning, when I talk to my child or my little grandchild, I want to give him the good, correct form of life, but a real one, not an imaginary one. I want to create in him a small image of what a correct person is, and so that he'll all the time see life in relation to that small image. Is it correct or not? Bad or not? Does he have to correct things or run away from them and so on? But so that this image for him will be like a compass that's guiding him correctly in life. This is the purpose of education in general. And in general, in the educational process, what are the basic milestones that, bit by bit, gradually, through examples, through different games, exercises, I more and more build in him the image, the shape of a correct human being. Those exercises and games and examples that he gets from you, how does that actually educate him? He absorbs it, whether he wants to or not. I bring him to the correct environment. I give him the right examples. I advise him what movies to see, books to read that talk about these kinds of heroes and so on. So the first stage is that you, as an educator, have to build a certain image for yourself that you would like for that child to reach eventually, and then you surround him by these examples, exercises, and so on, so that it will be immersed in him. Yeah, and will be a kind of compass, like you said before. To this day, I remember that I was 6 or 7 years old, and my father took me to the movies. There was this series of movies about the life of unique individuals, and my parents really wanted for me to become a musician. I had a piano at home and lessons all the time. Nothing came out of it because I really hated it. To mechanically repeat and the gammas, I couldn't stand it. But he took me to watch all these movies about all those composers and musicians. And to this day, I remember it. They did it correctly. They had a good intention. But it did not correspond to my inner root. And therefore, the second condition in education is, for education to turn out well, is educate a youth in his own ways. And this wasn't my way at all. Which means what? I'm not built to be a musician, a pianist, for example, what they wanted me to become. How can I know what is a person meant to be? This is hard. I don't think that an ordinary person can say, but if we're talking about an ordinary person, then first and foremost, how to educate him? We have to build, create in him the image of an ordinary good person that will treat everyone favorably in a good and nice way, and that they will treat him the same way. This is the first thing. And the second thing is, educate a youth in his own ways. A few words about this. To bring him to that preferable form that's according to his nature, and then it'll exactly suit him. Okay, let's talk about a person who is completely uneducated. Suppose there is such a person that's completely uneducated. How does he feel? What does he think? How does he act if he's completely uneducated? We really have to build such an environment that will educate him. This I understand, but before that, I suppose I don't know how that happened, but in order to understand what education is, I'm trying to see what the other end is. Let's take a person that the circumstances in life brought him to a state where he is completely uneducated. How does he behave? What does he think? He's like an animal. What's good for him at each given moment is what he does. He can urinate in the middle of the street. He can take a bun from some stand and eat it, simply so. He takes no one into consideration because he doesn't know what consideration is. He behaves according to how an animal behaves among everyone, and he thinks that that's good. That even in primitive cultures, it's not so. What is his emotional level, the level of his thinking? What his body says, this is what he does. Animal instinct. Yeah. It's like if he grew up in the forest. How does he behave? Like in a forest. So a person originally has nothing which is beyond an animal. Of course, no difference between man and animal. But a person that grows from an animal. In nature, we have three levels, the still, the vegetative, and the animate. And the human level, the speaking level, is a result of education. And that desire that you actually educate exists only in people. The ability to be educated, yes, exists in a person. We even develop the ability to be educated even in animals, and there's a difference. If it's a type of dogs, a species of dogs that for centuries live with people in our houses, then they too pass on to their offsprings the ability to live with people, like deer in the north, for example, and such that live with people for generations and generations. Until what age can you educate a person, influence him? Until his last day? And at what age is it most effective? Is there such a thing? Yes. Educate a youth in his ways. From adolescence, meaning what? That we have to start education from the parents, especially when the mother becomes pregnant, and then what she absorbs at that time, and then during birth, meaning there's nothing that's too early here. So, even during the pregnancy, even before that, when he's still in the mother's womb, we have to educate the mother because he hears inside there and there's a connection between them, and what she goes through is integrated in her child. And of course, before the mother becomes pregnant, we have to take care of all of these things. We can't just take a woman off the street and make something special out of the children that she gives birth to. This happens only in special cases, and that's extraordinary. If we want to educate, we have to start now and for everyone. Why we, as human beings, are so influenced by education? Why were we given this ability to influence ourselves by this tool called education in such an essential way? Because this is our entire life. This is our entire degree of being human beings. When I say, I want to have a dog or some animal, I consult the zoologist, and he says, if you want this and that, it's enough for you to take a cat or some other small animal, domestic animal, there are many such today, or a dog. Dogs are very developed. Or, furthermore, a monkey or a parrot. There are many. But according to what or how you can connect with that animal, to the extent to which the animal in you can connect with the animal you're about to buy. And why are you telling me this about our ability to be influenced by education? Because there has to be connection between two animals, the animal which is me and the animal that I bought, for example, which is a dog. So they have to be similar. We say that over time they really do become similar, even externally, in their behavior. That a person behaves like the dog, and the dog behaves a bit like its owner. And if we're talking about people, then what can we take for educating people in this regard? That we really have to start education from as early as possible, and we have to understand that education is what makes us human beings. Because in nature, there is no such form as human beings. There's only the animate level. And the speaking, the human level, comes only from education. And therefore, if we look around us at mankind, are there any human beings around us? Or is everyone on the animate level? This is the question. Without offending those that are called human beings, that think that they're human beings, maybe I'm also one of them, but what is the definition of a human being? And this is the problem. So there are several levels here. There are people in this corporeal world that know how to properly, correctly behave with each other, that are so-called educated, that don't harm others, that are cultured somehow. Maybe he didn't even go to school, but he has an inner kind of intelligence. And maybe he graduated from Harvard, but he's like a typical animal. And so here we have to understand, what is a man? What's the difference between him and an animal? And the wisdom of Kabbalah divides all those that walk on two into man and beast. A beast means that it has the same image as man, who wants to fulfill his egoistic desire with food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge, and honor and control and envy and have everything here. And of course, money and finance and all these things, this is all on the animate level. Animate, not on the human level. On the human level are only those that want to become like the Creator. In Hebrew, it's called Adam, from the word dome, meaning to be similar to the Creator. Similar how? That just like the Creator has the ability to bestow to and love others, the very same way those that want to achieve bestowal and love towards others, even though that they didn't reach that yet, but according to their inclination, they're called human beings. So human beings are only religious people? I don't know what you mean by religious. I didn't mention the word religion. You said that a human being, an Adam, is only someone who wants to be like the Creator. So there are people that believe and there are those that don't believe. To believe or not to believe in the Creator or God, it's a matter of upbringing, of education. That's why I brought it up. The thing is that you can define the Creator in any way you want. However, the Creator is love between people, the quality of love between people, the love that we have to achieve from one person to another, is the characteristic we call Creator. So you're saying that there are two types of people that walk on two. There are those that you called beasts, that actually there's no love in them. They work according to their basic instincts. They want money, they want respect, they want knowledge, they want all these things. And those that are human beings, what's the difference in respect to them who are human beings, Bnei Adam in Hebrew? These are those that think to the benefit of others. And you said something about love towards others. How's that related? Those that think to the benefit of others means that they have achieved feelings of love towards others. And this is a result of education? This is the big goal of education? Yes. So according to this perception, man is born a beast, and suppose he gets no education at all, so he'll be exactly like an animal, not taking anyone into consideration. What his body tells him, this is what he does. This is the starting point without education. And he can even finish his life that way. Yeah. Now, to this high exalted place that you've described where he has thoughts to the benefit of others and he feels love towards others, feelings of love towards others, here comes in education. Yes. So we said what the exalted goal of education is, we said what the starting point is, and what's supposed to bridge the gap between the two is what we call education. Yeah? Okay. Let's try and use the time that we have left to understand the gap between an animal and that person that has feelings of love towards others and so on. What are the stops in the main milestones in this process? In general, first of all, that he has to know that love another as yourself is the rule, the comprehensive rule, law of nature that he has to reach, and nature forces him to reach it one way or another. This is one thing. Another thing is that he has to examine, scrutinize to what extent is he opposite to this law? Meaning what? This is called man's inclination is evil from the very start. So it's that animal that to begin with takes no one into consideration. Yes, and it's bad to everyone. Why? You have such animals that aren't bad towards others. A cat doesn't wanna, or practically no animal wants to harm others. And a person that's uneducated wants to harm others. Can you explain? It depends on that person's development, from the level where he simply wants to acquire what others have, to receive, to buy, to steal, to grab what they have, and up to the point where he really finds pleasure, enjoys harming others without there being any other kind of benefit in it for himself. Meaning, it's not that I need what you have, but if you won't have, I enjoy it. So there are two stops here. The first is that nature will force a person to reach love another as thyself, and the second stop is that a person has to scrutinize to what extent is he opposite to that goal and that he's evil. Is there a third thing? Afterwards come the different forms of recognition of evil. To what extent is his nature evil and so on? Okay, so that's the second thing. To see how opposite he is, how evil he is that the recognition of evil? No, not yet. It's just the knowledge of it. He can enjoy being evil. So what is the recognition of evil? That he understands that his nature is evil and that it harms him. That this, he feels that it harms him. And then to the measure to which he discovers that this is bad for him, he corrects himself in the direction of love. Yes, from that point and on, his correction is that he starts educating himself. Dr. Lightman, if you can summarize, how does education influence people? It turns an animal into a human being, the worst kind of animal, that there is no animal worse than man, and let's turn him into a human being. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.